Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Today, a show with six guests, including three who actually speak the English language. In the studio with me are three law enforcement officials and three absolutely amazing dogs. Police and arson dogs these days can do some incredible things, from sniffing out the accelerant used to start a fire to getting illegal drugs off our streets to finding evidence in shootings and explosive investigations. Today, we'll take a look into this world and exactly what it takes for a dog to reach the professional heights that these dogs do. Law enforcement canines is our topic today. With me, Rose Rosmerick. She's a chief fire investigator for the Kansas State Fire Marshal's Office. She's with Tana, a 4.5-year-old yellow lab. And Rose, so nice to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Officer Dave Ferber is also here. He's accompanied by Roscoe. He's a 2-year-old Belgian Malinois from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. And Dave, nice to have you too.
Welcome. How are you? Thank you.
Special Agent Randy O'Dell and Roxy are also here. He's with the Bureau. They are both with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And Randy, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Rose, just how amazing are these dogs?
Oh, they're fantastic. They're the best partners that we can ever have. The biggest thing is that they can reduce the on-scene time and such of the different types of investigations that we're conducting.
Mm-hmm. And they're also amazing. Why? What can they do that normal dogs can't do?
Well, it's their noses. Mm-hmm. They are trained to identify certain types of odors depending on the type of discipline that they're trained for. Mm-hmm. But their noses are fantastic, and that's what increases in what their usability is.
Dave Ferber with the Kansas City Police Department. You're in this business. Why? Why are you doing this?
In the canine unit, because I love the dogs. Dogs are very loyal, very mm-hmm. loyal to their owners. And it's every day these guys do something amazing.
Like what? Give me an example of something you've seen recently.
Something that's a lot of people don't know that is a canine's dog is about 1,000 to 10 million times stronger than a human's nose. So just
1,000 to a million times?
Yeah, depending on the breed.
No kidding.
Yes, depending on the breed. So you can just a simple everyday walk with him. What he normally does is when I know that a human being is near us is he will just strictly put his nose straight up in the air and he will go back and forth. And that lets me know, hey, somebody is near us, so I need to have him close to my side.
Yeah, you know, Officer Randy O'Dell, Special Agent Randy O'Dell with Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Give us a description of what's going on here in the studio right now, because we have three dogs. One's a little agitated and other ones are lying down relaxing. What's the dynamic going on here in the room right now?
Well, a lot of it's fairly breed specific and in what the dog's background and training is. Dave's dog is a dual trained dog. He's a narcotics dog. Is one of his jobs. His other job is his patrol dog. So he's trained to apprehend or deter a bad guy, if you will, or a suspect. He's also trained in handler protection. So if someone attempts to aggress against the officer, his job is to intercede and protect him. The Malinois is a high-energy breed of dog.
He's a very high-energy dog.
You'll see that in the Shepherds to a little bit lesser extent, but much the same.
Yeah.
So they're wound up just a little tighter, and it's just personality differences from the breeds, whereas the other two dogs here are the Labradors, and we've seen some pretty excitable Labradors too, but in a different way as far as how they show it to you.
Yeah. Well, Roxy was lying down just a second ago. She's gotten up now, but she's keeping an eye on Dave's dog.
They're always interested in each other because dogs are dogs.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, they're still dogs.
Rose, how's Tana doing right now?
Tana's getting ready to go to sleep. Till she heard her name.
Thanks to the host screwing everything up here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I love police literature. You know, in reading about these dogs, Dave, I came across the phrase locator tool to describe these dogs and what they do. I'm thinking, locator tool, that sounds a little cold. How do you view your dog?
Yes, that's exactly what we use these dogs for as tools. Like I said, Roscoe. That was my old retired dog. So I just recently got Roscoe back in September.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the newest part of the canine unit.
Mm-hmm.
So we use, like I said, as a tool. We use him to locate narcotics. We use him to locate guns,
mm-hmm.
What bad people will happen to throw down during a foot pursuit. Mm-hmm. Roscoe is trained to locate those items.
And what kinds of feats has he already accomplished in terms of sniffing out something that would sort of raise people's eyebrows a little bit?
We just recently located about a quarter pound of meth. Hmm. We located an undisclosed amount of cash and a gun that was actually located in a safe that was tucked in back in a person's closet.
Whoa. This stuff, all these things were in a safe?
Yes.
And Roscoe correct. Smelled them through the safe?
Yes, exactly. Like I said, the humans, we call scent glands, we have about 5 million of those scent glands.
You became a scientist on this stuff,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes, right? Yeah. And a canine's dog actually has between 125 million to 300 million scent glands. So these guys, of course, can smell a lot better than the humans. That's why we use them as the tool. They will locate faster.
This house was roughly what part of town that this happened?
This was somewhere, I believe, around the Raytown area.
Okay, and so when he gets to the safe that day,
correct.
How does Roscoe indicate that he's onto something there?
Roscoe is what we call a passive response dog. That means when he locates the aid, he is trained to sit. Once he sits, his simple reward is a simple tennis ball. As you can see, I'm about to get it out of my pocket, and mm-hmm. he's already focused on my pocket. And now he will just steadily concentrate on this ball, and I will give it to him.
There he goes.
There it is.
Got it, yeah. So he just oriented towards the safe and sat down.
Correct, yep.
And that's all there was to it.
I directed him. It's called having him search around the room.
Yeah.
And I will present certain items of the room, a dresser, a bed. And once he came upon this safe, he said, hey, I can smell narcotics, so he gave me a sat.
Yeah. Has he found anything here at KCUR yet, or are we still doing okay?
So far.
So far.
I haven't searched every room yet. So we still have plenty more to go.
Rose, how long have each of you been working with your current animals here?
Currently, we have been certified as a team for almost 4 years.
Certified as a team? What do you mean, certified as a team?
When we go and get certified, get our training, get certification, we're actually certified as a team, which means the two of us, the handler and the dog, have to complete certain skills and testing to get certified. And it's done as a team, which means I can't give my dog to Randy and let Randy go work my dog because we actually read off of each other. I know her responses. She can actually detect my responses. So if I let somebody else work her, they could actually give her false information and actually can cue her and, to put it bluntly, can screw up her training.
So pretty much when you're matched up with an animal, I guess, if I hear you right, you're sort of joined at the hip for a long time to come.
We're partners in I mean, the lead, we are tied together by the lead.
Yeah. And Tana comes home with you in the evening?
Tana's with me 24/7.
Yeah.
And she lives actually in my home. She's required to live in the home. She interacts with my dogs, my family, everything else. So, yeah, she actually becomes part of our family.
Randy, is Roxy with you all the time?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And is it the same kind of experience that Roxy sort of responds to you and probably no one else very well?
Pretty much. She won't react to you or anybody else the same way she'll react to me because we're very bonded as a working team. And like Rose mentioned, that we're the same way, we're certified together. And that's pretty universal outside mm-hmm. of the military, probably. You see a little bit there where they will mix and match handlers and their dogs because of operational necessities. The military is very different than our world, of course.
Yeah.
But we're much the same. We are exactly the same way. No one else works my dog. I don't work anybody else's dog.
Give me a sense of what Roxy's done for. It used to be ATF. Is it ATF and E now, or the acronym for?
Yeah, they add the and explosives to it when they moved us from Treasury to Justice Department in, I believe it was 2002. We've always had that mission. It's always been there. It's not new. They just added it to the name. We still go by ATF day to day.
ATF, okay. What has Roxy done that would surprise listeners with her ability?
Probably the last thing she was involved in of a more noticeable case is when we had the highway shooter here a while back around town. If you saw the local news meet, if you saw the guy running out there with the black lab, that was Roxy and I.
And what were you doing?
What they asked us to do is to examine the areas where we knew shootings had occurred to see if we might be able to locate any basically ballistic or firearms debris, whether it be like a spent casings? Bullet or shell casing or whatever it might be. She's capable of finding those things. And just basically it's evidence gathering is what we were doing.
And how, if you don't know what you're looking for exactly, how were you able to orient her towards the type of shell casing you might have been looking for?
She's not looking for a shell. I mean, we're looking for a shell casing. She's looking for something that smells like a shell casing. The dog obviously doesn't know what a shell casing or a gun is.
Yeah.
So she's trained to detect the odor that it would exude. In this case, it'd be spent smokeless powder, which wouldn't be the normal function of a firearm, that odor would be impinged in the metal of either the shell casing or the firearm itself if it were present. So that's what she's trained to find.
And did she find some?
We did find some things along the way, yeah.
Yeah. What kinds of things?
Well,
you can't talk about it. And the case is ongoing,
right,
and
yeah,
you guys always shut me down when I ask those questions.
Sorry about that.
It always happens.
That's how it is.
Yeah. Rose, how about Tana? What's Tana done that would be interesting?
I think her most notable case to date is a case that we worked down in Fort Scott, Kansas. It was a house fire where the female resident was found deceased, and the husband and the baby were injured. Unfortunately, the husband was our suspect. He actually attempted to murder his wife and set the house on fire to cover that up. And in the process, he injured himself and his baby when he set the house on fire. Of course, she found the accelerants in the room of origin. But the part that was very notable is he gave a story of what took place, why there might be accelerants there. And due to her nose and the areas that she found in, of the accelerant, it kind of quiboshed his alibi.
What kind of accelerant did Tana find?
It ended up, once it went to the laboratory, it ended up being gasoline.
Wow. And she found that where in the house?
It was in a bedroom. Actually, it was in the baby's bedroom where the fire was set.
And so this stuff had already been spent up. It had been burned already.
Yeah, pretty much that whole room was succumbed to the fire itself. It actually obtained what we refer to as a flashover, where all the room and content was on fire at one time. And we actually had fall down from the ceiling, had collapsed. And so she was able to go in there before we did any kind of debris removal and was able to detect the accelerant through 2 feet of debris.
No kidding. And when she finds that, how does she orient towards what she's found?
Again, she is trained as a passive alert. So when she finds any type of accelerant material or odor, she will sit. And now she is a food reward dog. So when she alerts, then we feed her. And that is actually how she eats every day. So she has to work every day to be fed.
And what do you feed her?
Well, she is actually on a science diet, JD, a special diet through science diet food.
Yeah. And you just have little pellets, or what do you have?
Yeah, they're little pellets. It's just basic dog food, and they're in a pouch that we carry. So when we strap that pouch on, they know that it's time to go to work. And so when they alert, then we just give them a handful of kibbles, and then we go on to the next one.
And this is the award that Tana has been nominated for, right?
She has been nominated for the Hero Dog Award in the arson category through the American Humane Association.
Yeah.
And it's that case that was notable for her to be nominated for that award.
Now what do your dogs do on days off, Dave? What do you do? Just like any other dog in the world, or what happens?
It's pretty cool. As all working dogs, they have an on and off switch.
Mm-hmm.
So when Roscoe is at home, he's just your simple house dog. All he wants to do is just lay around and just...
So he can turn it on and off that quickly.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And usually it's because of, with him, the sound of my vehicle's engine turning on, that keys him up saying, okay, I hear the engine, it's time to go to work.
Yeah. Just that's that awesome. Simply. And Rose, the same with you?
Yeah, I mean, she's a normal dog when she's at home. Actually, anytime I go to walk out the door and I don't tell her, let's go, she's looking at me like, well, wait a minute, I'm supposed to go with you. And so if I'm just going to go to the grocery store, she's like, hey, it's my turn.
Yeah.
But they actually have to work every day, even on our days off, because they're food reward dogs. That is the way they eat every day.
So what do you do then?
There's different things that we can do. We can scent or place our odors in outside and do field searches. We do a scent discrimination type training. So there's various types of training modules that we can do, even if they're not working at actual fire.
Randy, how about you and Roxy there? Do you have days off?
We're pretty much the same way that Rose and her dog is. Roxy is a food reward dog also.
Yeah.
And we work. She works every day the same thing that she has to work in order to eat. It's not really quite as dramatic as that. We have a process that we go through that we can do on our days off and our downtime that we can pretty much do right there at the house typically. But she has to be presented with a problem, if you will. She has to make an assessment and a decision and a response that has to be correct in order to be fed. So by doing that, we have a daily, constant, multiple opportunities to reinforce odor on the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And that just keeps them, you know, real sharp and very keen on.
In other words, you plant odors around the yard or wherever you are, the field, and
right.
I do
a variety of things. I may take a handful of shell casings and throw them around the yard, or I may go down to the park and do it. I do a thing I call kick the can with her. We use these little sniffer, what we call sniffer cans. They're about the size of a hockey puck.
Yeah.
They're made out of aluminum. You punch holes in them, and you can put whatever in them.
Yeah.
And I may have 8 or 9 or 10 of them out there, but one of them has an explosive odor in it, and so she has to sniff through all of those and find it. Once she does, then I'll rearrange them, and we'll do it again, and we'll do it again, and then I can do some other things, discrimination testing with her and all that for things I don't want her to respond to that I need to ward her off of, so she knows ignore that odor and find the one I want her to do.
Oh,
so it's an issue we have to deal with all the guys.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about canines today, law enforcement dogs with these absolutely amazing abilities. If you'd like to join our conversation with a question for one of the handlers, or if you have a question for one of the dogs, we'll do our best. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Dave Ferbert from the Kansas City Police Department. We've talked about Roscoe being trained as a narcotics for narcotics detection. Give us a partial, you know, list of the types of drugs he finds most frequently around town.
Anywhere from marijuana, crack, cocaine, methamphetamines, and heroin.
And the most common, most popular drug you would find would be what?
Marijuana, of course.
Yeah.
Marijuana.
And is she equally adept at locating any one of those, or is she better at one more than the others?
It's any of the drugs. We certify once a year, and it's whatever is located or is inside the vehicle, Roscoe will be able to locate that very easily.
I imagine folks who are carrying that stuff and they see Roscoe coming along, that can't be a real happy moment, because you probably know at that point, no matter where you stash the stuff, you're probably in trouble.
Yes, majority of the time when people see us coming onto the scene, you will see a head droop down towards the ground, or actually they'll say, you know what, I'll tell you where the narcotics are at.
The gig's up.
Yeah.
Don't tear up the car or wherever it is.
Of course.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah. You know, Rose, I was wondering, how are these dogs singled out from the pack, so to speak, to become law enforcement animals? What traits are they judged on? How are they picked out from the group to turn them into something like a canine for a police department?
They're assessed very young when they're puppies. One thing they're going to look for, their drive. They need a very driven dog to be able to maintain the work that they do. So, you know, unfortunately, a dog like a bloodhound, as lazy as they can be, is just not going to work out very well for the type of work that our three dogs do.
Because they don't have the drive, you're saying.
Yeah, they just don't have that energy. I mean, you can notice on the dogs, especially Roscoe right now, the high energy that he has right now. So you want to look for a high drive. You also want to see a dog that's going to please their master, that they're dedicated to that master, because they're doing this for us in the long run, that they know that they have to do this because they want to make us as handlers happy. So you want to see that they have that dedication to their handler. And then also assessing that nose. You know, he talked about the orifices on the nose and how much more sensitive they are than ours. Even within dogs themselves, have different degrees of that ability. So even our Labradors, some Labradors don't get put into the program because they cannot identify the odorants that they are being tasked to do.
You know, Randy O'Dell from ATF, these dogs come from where? And are you guys involved in the selection of these dogs?
In our my program specifically, I would not be. I'm not. We have our own set of trainers in our own dedicated facility in Virginia that produces our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So we have master trainers out there that have been doing this for many, many years.
And they pick the dogs when they're born. They begin to identify them, that kind
of thing. We have specific places that we source our dogs from. And it works for us if they have a contractual agreement with them to acquire our dogs there so that we know where the dogs come from. We know the breeding pairs that typically produce the puppies so that we don't have to worry about, you know, bad hips or glaucoma or deafness or any some odd things that might happen. So we have a healthy, solid animal to work with.
And how old were you? How old was your dog when you got involved and matched up with him?
She was about 15 months old when I first met her. Our program usually will take the dogs right around their first birthday.
Yeah,
it's pretty typical. She'd already gone through the school, if you will, one time before and was left back from that class. And then I picked her up from that. So she got to go through the class actually twice before I was done with her.
Was she a slow learner?
No, there was some issues with her. I'm not really sure where it came from, that she was a little bit of a handler dependency issue with her, just a lack of confidence.
Yeah.
And a lot of it with Labradors, they're kind of slow bloomers in a lot of cases for that purpose. They need to be a little bit older and they need to be nurtured a little bit. Depends on the dog. Some are that way, some are not. She's bloomed out of that, and today she's, you know, an excellent dog. She's very confident in what she does.
And did you have any choice in the matter when you went and met her? Could you have gone with some other dog, or were you sort of matched up with this dog?
Actually, in that instance, I had a choice between a couple of three dogs, and she clearly, as far as putting her on odor and watching her work and do what her doing through her paces, if you will, clearly outshined the other two dogs as far as that goes. She was no question about which one was the better of the three dogs.
Dave Ferber with the Kansas City Police Department. How much did Roscoe cost?
It cost the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department around $10,000.
No kidding.
For him.
And you also picked Roscoe up at about the 1 year point?
Yes, correct. He will be two in July, and he's still a young guy. And we go through the same process. We're looking for a really high drive, prey drive is what we call it. And the dog has to be loyal, you know, to the handler.
Do all your dogs come from the same place in Virginia? Or
no.
Yours came from, Roscoe came from where?
From a vendor in Denver, Indiana.
Denver, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Rose, how about your dog?
Mine came from a breeder in California.
Yeah, and the cost, roughly?
For the dog in actually my initial training and such, in our program is actually sponsored by the State Farm Foundation. So they pay for the initial cost of the dog in our initial training.
Yeah.
And when we get certified, State Farm has probably put about $28,000 out for our training in for the dog.
Yeah. And Randy, how much did Roxy cost?
I'll be honest with you. Probably her acquisition, she probably didn't cost anything for us to get her into our program. She was kind of an odd duck in the way they come. That she came from a breeding program the Customs Service had initiated a number of years ago, in which they took some of their females and bred them with imported males that to get the characteristics and things they want. Her mom was actually a working dog for the Customs Service, so she's actually a second-generation working dog. And she came. She was not suitable in their program because they'd use the ball or the prey drive like Dave's dog used. And she just didn't really respond to that well.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought her to our program and tested her with the food reward version of it. She responded quite well to that. And the rest, they say, is history, and she stayed with us and went from there. She had four of her litter mates came with her when she came over, same reason.
Dave, is Roscoe calming down at all, or is he just as wired as the moment he came in the door?
He is ready to go.
He's ready to
roll. He wants to work. He wants to find. He wants to conquer.
And I'm ready. I'm ready to get some phone calls here, too. Lots of phone calls. Alex from Kansas City, Missouri. You're on Up to Date. Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
My question this morning was about the food reward program for the dogs. I'm curious how, when a dog is rewarded for alerting on a scent with food, how you know that the dog is actually alerting on a scent and not just looking for food.
Randy Odell, take that one.
What we do in the testing and when we're training on a daily basis with the dogs is we essentially set the dogs up to see if they will tell us a lie, if you will. And so we know the answer to the question. And over repetition, over many days in their early training and all that, the dog learns that if you tell a lie, you're not going to get rewarded. So they start seeing, well, there's no profit in doing that anymore, and they'll stop doing it. And
that's how I handle my kids, too, by the way.
It's very much
George.
Like that, yeah, to be quite honest with you. So that becomes really not much of an issue in a very short period of time, to the point it becomes no issue at all.
Rose, you're nodding your head.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to our training and such and why we're certified as a team, because I know and I can sense when she's trying to bluff me.
Mm-hmm.
When she really alerts on something hard, she is going to plant her butt, and I can't pull her off of that scent.
No kidding.
But when she's trying to play the game, I can get her off of it. So I can tell the difference between a good alert and not alert.
That's interesting. Alex, I hope that helps.
It did. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Jay from Kansas City, Missouri. Jay, you're on Up to Date. We're talking about canines, law enforcement dogs. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks.
My question's for Dave. I was thinking about possibly getting a Belgian Malinois for the family. I've heard a lot about them, and you spoke about their high drive. Are they good family dogs for, like, kids and stuff around the house, or, you know?
Yes. Actually, like I said, they're an on and off dog, so I actually have several kids that are living with me at the house and my wife. Hello, Angela and Sydney and Michael and Amanda and all them. But yeah, they're actually great. I trust Roscoe around them, and he's a very pleasant, friendly dog.
Very cool. I appreciate it. I just want to say thanks, man. You guys are awesome. I've seen some of those guys out there working, and it's really cool. So
it is just amazing.
Appreciate what you do, man.
It's fun having them around. Thanks for the phone call,
Thank
Jay.
You.
I appreciate it. Let's go to Bernie from Overland Park. Bernie, you're on Up to Date.
Thank you. My question is, would you compare the German Shepherd, the Dutch Shepherd, and the Belgian Malinois? I know the KC Police Department has kind of shifted away from the German Shepherds, and I'm wondering what the different strengths and limitations of those breeds are.
Dave, why not German Shepherds for the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department?
It's not that we're going away from the German Shepherd. It just depends on the quality of the dog that is there in Denver, Indiana, when we arrive. German Shepherds, in my opinion, are very methodical. And with the Belgian Malinois, they are very think fast, think quick. I want to get the job done.
Kidding. You can tell a difference.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Is there a dog, Rose, a breed of animal that is regarded universally as the best law enforcement animal to have for anybody?
No, it's going to depend on the type of discipline you want that dog to do. And that's why in the Accelerant program, when it first started, a whole different array of dogs that they were using. And then they finally started realizing that the Labrador is the best dog for the type of program that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see a Labrador as being a patrol dog.
Yeah.
They just don't have that aggression that's in them.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take some more phone calls. We'll talk more about training, and maybe we'll give Roxy and we'll get Roscoe a chance to run down the hallway a little bit before he bursts out off his leash here. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed our conversation with children's author and filmmaker William Joyce or our discussion about spring gardening, you can find all of those at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the show, we take a look at the Kansas City Repertory Theater. It celebrates its 50th anniversary, and we'll take a look at how traditional board and card games are faring, how they're faring in this very digital age. This hour, we're talking about law enforcement dogs of Tana, Roscoe, and Roxy. We're visiting with Rose Rosmerick. She's the chief fire investigator for the Kansas State Fire Marshal's Office. Officer Dave Ferber is also here with the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, and Special Agent Randy Odell with ATF. He's also here in the studios with us. Dave, you were saying during the break, no human food for Roscoe?
Absolutely not. He's on a strict diet, very high in protein.
So if I hand him a cheeseburger right now, he would do what?
He will probably just stare at it.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wouldn't take it.
Nope, not at all.
Because why?
The reason why is because when we search a lot of vehicles and houses, you're going to have food that's going to be inside those, and we don't want our dogs to eat that because, believe it or not, there are some people out there that will try and poison our dogs.
Oh, yes. Okay. So you got to be careful with that.
Correct.
Yeah. Rose, how about you and Tana there? Will Tana eat a cheeseburger if I offer him one?
I'm sure if you handed it to her, she probably would take a nibble of it, but she knows it's coming from you. But again, we actually train her off of that. So if she's in a fire scene, we will actually burn food. So she just walks right over that when we're at a fire scene.
And so will she take food from anybody else besides you or no?
If I'm around and I tell her no, she won't. But if I don't, if I'm around, she probably will.
Yeah. And Randy, same with your dog?
Pretty much the same way. Her kibble that she gets on a daily basis is her sole sustenance. Mm-hmm. We do that always for the health of the dog. And we don't encourage them to graze, if you will, when they're, like I say, working a crime scene. When she's distracted by, you know, popcorn on the floor or something like that, mm-hmm. she's not looking at what she's supposed to be looking at. So we try. Yeah. But again, dogs are dogs. And sometimes the temptation gets a little great. You know, is it the end of the world if she scarfs a piece of popcorn off the floor? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But we certainly don't encourage that, and we try to keep them away. And if I see it, then I'll keep her away from whatever it is and just avoid the temptation completely.
Our phone number, if you want to join our conversation with good questions here, 816-235-2888 is our number. Again, 816-235-2888. You can also email us to updatedate@kcur.org. Rose, is any yellow lab capable of doing what Tana does, or is that like asking whether any male could do the things that Michael Jordan once did in the basketball court?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they have to be evaluated just like any athlete or anything.
So not any yellow lab can do what Tana does?
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah, yeah. And Randy, it's same with your situation?
Oh, absolutely. Very much the same.
Special dogs doing special things.
Well, it's just like anything else. They have personalities and physical attributes that make them better capable of doing the tasks that we need them to do, just like you and I have different physical and mental status of one thing or another that make you better suited to do something than I am and vice versa.
I could beat you in basketball.
You probably could.
Yeah, probably, I could. There's no question. I could, yeah. Wendell wrote us to ask this. Is evidence from a canine search 100% admissible in court, Dave Ferber?
Is it admissible?
Admissible,
yes.
In court.
As long as you have your training reports. Mm-hmm. Training reports go a long way. The judge will look at those. The jury will look at those. The defense attorney. And they look at the training reports, or they're like, okay, this dog trains either every other day, every day, once a week. He's training. He's on board. He knows what he's doing. And, oh, yeah, definitely.
Rose, you ever had any trouble with that?
We haven't had any trouble. One thing that with the accelerant dogs is, again, she can alert on an accelerant, but it's going to be up to the investigator to determine if that accelerant was supposed to be there or it was put there to spread the fire or start the fire. But we also have it backed up by the laboratory. We'll analyze that evidence that we send them, and they will then back it up to tell us exactly what that was.
Sheila called to ask if law enforcement ever uses Caucasian Mountain Shepherd, the Mountain Shepherd dog, used a lot in Russia, and was wondering if any of you have seen one working in the U.S.
Nope.
Anywhere. We're getting all head shakes. No. Sheila, I'm sorry about that. Back to some phone calls here, and Lucy from Lawrence. Lucy from Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. The question I had is, why aren't bird dogs such as pointers and setters, who are really keen on scenting both in air and on the ground, used for detection? Are they temperamentally unsuited, or what's the reason?
Randy O'Dell from ATF, take that.
I have seen some of the sporting breed dogs used in detection work. They are out there. They do use them. One of the issues with those dogs is they're really, really high strung, typically. You know, I don't mean to stereotype a breed of dog, but they're a little more high strung than some of the others are. So that makes them a little more difficult to manage in some of the scenarios we have to operate in. But as far as their capability of detecting odor, they're absolutely as good as any dog breed there is out there. It's just a matter of their suitability overall to do the functions we need them to do.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lucy. Dave, I understand that the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, the canines can also be trained to apprehend a suspect, right?
Yes.
How does a dog apprehend a suspect, or do I not want to find out?
No, we actually, it's called the technique, it's called a bite and hold. When the
lovely,
yes, when the yeah. Suspect is taken into custody, what our canine will do is go in and engage the suspect, and meaning he will just grab a hold of the suspect's arm, and he just won't let go. He will just stand there until the handler comes to the scene and tells the handler or tells the suspect to surrender. Once the suspect surrenders, which means show us your hands, because that's the important part. We don't want a suspect to have a gun on him to where he can shoot either myself or Roscoe.
You know, if a suspect is fleeing, running down the street, will Roscoe go get that suspect
yes.
and sort of drag him to the ground?
That is called a target lock.
Yeah.
Just like a jet fighter plane. We call it a target lock.
And I can only imagine from my time with Roscoe that he's probably very good at something like that.
Yes, he is excellent. We've actually clocked Roscoe probably about 25 miles per hour.
No kidding.
Yes. Very fast.
And I don't want you using the order on the air because I don't want to hear it, but there's a certain order you would give to tell Roscoe, go get
Correct.
That bad guy.
There's certain commands that we tell our dogs that lets the dog know that, hey, I'm either in narcotic search mode or I'm in patrol mode.
Mm-hmm. And Roscoe, just on a flash, will go get the
Correct.
Bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yes.
Rose, does Tana do that, or is that not part of her repertoire here?
As far as commands, mm-hmm. Tana has certain commands that she is given to do certain things during her work.
Will she apprehend a suspect?
No.
That's not part of what we're talking about here.
No, if you've seen her run, no, she would never be able to catch a suspect.
Not as fast as Roscoe.
Not at all, no.
Yeah. 25 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
That's a fast dog.
Yes, that's fast.
Yeah,
Very fast.
Yeah, okay. Back to some phone calls here. Kathy from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I was just wondering if any of the agencies represented ever gave public demonstrations as a form of PR, and I'll just take my answer off the air. Thank you, and thank you guys for all your hard work.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Rose, what about that?
Oh, yes, we do them all the time. Mm-hmm. I just did one a few weeks ago for a school program at an elementary school.
If people want to connect with that, how can they do it?
They can just contact me at my agency.
Yeah.
And as long as we're available, we can schedule something.
How about the ATF, Randy?
Same thing. We do demonstrations with the dogs quite regularly. So,
is there a website people can go to find out about that?
Probably their best bet is just to contact the local ATF office wherever they are, mm-hmm. and we can probably get it arranged at some point, sure.
And Dave Ferber, you were nodding your head. If folks want to come see Roscoe, they want to come see Roscoe move, they
definitely.
Do what?
Definitely. You can get a hold of our sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
You can just email him. And we do a lot of schools. We do a lot of businesses, actually. And it's something that we enjoy doing for the public.
So if folks call the police department and ask for the canine unit, that'd be the way to do
yes,
it then.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, okay. Back to some phone calls here. And Kim from Lansing. Kim, we're talking about law enforcement dogs. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just curious to know what happens to these animals when they retire. Do they become your personal family pets, or what is their retirement like?
Wonderful question. Do they get Social Security, Rose?
Unfortunately, we can't claim them as a dependent, so no, they don't get Social Security. But in most cases, they do retire to the handler's home as their own pet. And unfortunately, since our dogs are food reward dogs, they actually get to see what a bowl of dog food looks like when they retire. So that's
Ooh.
What their reward is.
Excitement.
So you change
Great.
The diet
Thanks
once they retire.
Well, we don't change the diet, but get to change the way they eat. So they no longer have to eat out of our hand. They'll actually eat out of a bowl of dog food.
Is that a hard transition?
Not really. It you put food in front of them, they're going to eat it.
Eat, yeah. Okay. I cut
Thanks
you off,
for
Kim.
Everything
yeah.
You do.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let's go to Bill from Lee Summit. Bill, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. My son and his wife, when they were in San Antonio, raised pups for the Border Security Patrol, Belgian Malinois.
Ah.
And they had several of them. And one of the dogs that washed out because he had micrognathia, he had a small jaw, they got to keep as a pet. And that dog, in watching him grow, it's like he has OCD. He has obsessive compulsive disorder. Whatever he does, he does until either he falls over or you get the objective. Like if you're chasing a ball, if you throw the ball over the car, the dog will go over the car. If the ball goes over the fence, the dog's going to go over the fence.
Sounds like a pretty typical Balinois.
Yeah.
That was my question. Is that characteristic of them?
Yes, that's why we definitely like that breed. Like right now, Roscoe is actually tearing up this tennis ball that he's been chewing on since we started this process. So, yeah, it's awesome. It's just they will do whatever you ask them to do, and they love doing it.
When they first got the dog, apparently the commands for them to take down the bad guys, you drop the leash. And the dog looked like he had a tick because every time he went on a walk and a jogger would go by, he would kind of look back over his shoulder. Are we going to take this one? Are we going to take this one?
Our dogs are
always working.
Our dogs are always on a 15-foot lead unless we are doing a building search inside.
All right. Bill, thank you for the call.
Great. Thank you.
I mean, no question these dogs are at risk, Dave. The Kansas City Police Department website, you know, lists 3 canines killed in the line of duty over the years. Trooper 1961, Star in 1991, and Dio from 2007. Not a pleasant topic, but how did those dogs die? Do you have any sense of that?
Star was killed in, I believe he was doing a building search, and they sent the dog in to, as actually a residence, and he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Dio, actually, that was our latest one, and he was actually in pursuit of burglary suspects that were on top of the roof. And somehow, and we don't know to this day whether or not Dio was, if he just jumped off his own or if he was thrown off of the building and he died that way.
Wow. Okay. ATF, you lost dogs?
We've had some operational losses, you know, where dogs will, you know, get hit by a car and things like that. We obviously don't do the patrol thing, so we don't have that going on. So there have been several losses over the years just from operational accidents that have occurred, sure.
But what's the future for police dogs, for law enforcement dogs, Rose? I mean, is the business going to change, or is it what it is kind of thing?
I mean, they're always looking for new ways to use dogs because they are such a good tool.
Yeah.
You know, where they go, what other scents they can detect for us, it's going to depend on, unfortunately, what happens in our criminal industry.
Yeah.
What are we going to be dealing with type of things?
Yeah.
So they're always looking at new reasons and purposes for these dogs because they are such good tools.
Well, you guys have been absolutely great. What a great way for us to spend some time. Lots of phone calls, lots of interest. Rose Rosmerick, Chief Fire Investigator for the Kansas State Fire Marshal's Office in Tana. Thanks so much for taking time with us today.
Well, thanks for having
us. Really appreciate it. Officer Dave Ferber with Roscoe from the Kansas City Police Department. What a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in, Dave. Great time. Thank you.
And the ATF's Randy O'Dell and Roxy, thanks so much, guys.